Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everybody. This is August Pizzotto with Today in Bible Talk Tradition. Welcome to our program as we look at world events and other biblical prophets and the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is great to be here with you on this Saturday afternoon, as I am coming to you live from Wiggins, Mississippi, where I am in the midst of preaching a five-day Bible prophecy conference at Biloxi Rivers Baptist Church in Gulfport, Mississippi. That's about 28 minutes from where we are right now. And folks, we've had some wonderful meetings since we've been out here in Mississippi. We've been on the road for about 3 months now, and our road trip is about to come to an end with this conference, and then my wife and I go back up to Rhode Island. And it'll be great to be back home, hopefully warmer weather and no more snow. But then again, folks, it's New England. Anything can happen. Now, folks, we were going to have David James on the show today, but we push David James to next Saturday, because today I want to talk with a very good friend of mine. He is such a blessing to me. His name, and he's no stranger to all of you, is Dr. Todd Baker. Now, we know many of us have heard of that name because he is associated as the theologian for Zola Levitt Ministries. And Dr. Todd Baker is the founder of Brit Hadashah Ministries based in Dallas, Texas. He is also the leader of the Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation, founded by my mentor, the late Zola Levitt. And folks, Todd is in Israel right now for his 33rd missions outreach to the Jewish people, and I will be with him for the 34th missions outreach to Israel in June. So, folks, I am looking so forward to going with him and evangelizing the Jewish people. Now, if you're listening to the show today, and folks, if you can help out with this outreach, it would be greatly appreciated, and you will have a part in reaching precious Jewish souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would like to help out with the missions outreach for June, then I want to encourage you to go to Todd Baker's website at Brit Hadashah Ministries. He's going to give you all that information when I bring him up on to the show. So, folks, listen, without any further ado, because he is live from Israel. He is right now in Tel Aviv. So we're going to get Todd on the air right now. So let's put that on there. Todd Baker, are you there?
I am, brother. Just really pumped up and on a spiritual high. We so far have passed out about 61 complete Hebrew Bibles. When I say complete, I mean it has the Tanakh, that's Hebrew for the Old, that's what we would call the Old Testament, and the Brit Hadashah, Hebrew for the New Testament, together. And, of course, telling them that the focal point, the connecting link that unites the two, is the coming Messiah, who has come and is coming again. And as you'll see in June, the thrust of our witness largely centers on God giving many messianic prophecies pertaining to the first coming of Messiah as a litmus test. So whoever came and fulfilled those prophecies indubitably had to be the Messiah. And as you and I know, and as I've told the Israelis on this outreach, that points to the only person in Jewish and human history, Jesus of Nazareth. Had a great time of ministry today. Shared with this 28-year-old Israeli lady at a restaurant. She was the waitress there. She stood by my table off and on for about an hour as I shared the gospel with her and related to her God's plan for Israel, past, present, and future, from the Hebrew Bible, and with particular reference to the end time regathering of Israel. And in two places in the Bible, God says when he does regather Israel, he will, quote, return. And I told her, return, that means that Messiah has come here before, has been here before. And a lot of people don't know that in two places in the Old Testament, the regathering of Israel will occur and the second coming will occur at the same time with that. So we know that the tribulation is near, and when Yeshua does return, he will finish the regathering of all Israel back to the land. But anyway, I told you I wanted you to read Deuteronomy 31 through 3. This is one of the two passages I've shared over here with Israelis about in their returning to the land Messiah would return. And the reason why I'm having you, if you will read from the King James, is that most modern Bible translations do not have the phrase when God says, in compassion, I will regather them and I will return. Well, that phrase, I will return, is not in most modern translations of the Bible. However, Jewish Messianic translations are putting that phrase back in there. I know the Jewish Family Bible, which just came out with general editors, Dr. Jeffrey Sutt, puts that back in there. And you know why, brother? Because the oldest manuscript of the Old Testament, that being the Dead Sea Scrolls, has that phrase in there in Deuteronomy 30, that the Lord will return. And the first rule of textual criticism is that you go with the oldest reading. So if you wouldn't mind, read that regathering prophecy to the audience with the phrase and the fact that the Lord will return during his regathering of the Jewish people back into the land of Israel.
Yeah, Todd, let me read that right now, folks. And even if you have, I'm using the King James Bible. The King James Bible is the only Bible that I use. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 3, says this: And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which he has set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and thou shalt, here it is, Todd, you're talking about this, return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That's pretty cut and clear, Todd.
Yeah, it says the Lord will return when he also causes the Jewish people to return to the land. Now, I know that it's dubious to build a doctrine on one single passage, but fortunately we do have another verse in the Navi'im, the prophets, and that would be Yeremiyahu Hanavi. That's the Hebrew phrase for Jeremiah the prophet. God says more explicitly in Jeremiah 12, verses 14 to 15, and this is in all the translations, that the Lord will, again, says he will return when he causes the outcasts of Israel to come back to their land. And let me read that one. Jeremiah 12, starting in verse 14. Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people to inherit. The evil neighbors would be, of course, the Arab nations surrounding Israel, seeking to wrest the land from them and destroy them. I go on to read in verse 14. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Verse 15. Then it shall be after I have plucked them out that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his heritage and everyone to his land. And it shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, and then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck and destroy that nation, says the Lord. But note here in verse 15 that when the Jewish people return to the land by the hand of God, The Lord himself will return. So that's exciting, and it's like what I told the waitress today. I said, your return to this land from the Ukraine, which again is a fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 16 and 23 about the mass exodus from the far north country back to Israel that God would do at the end of days, which if you take a map and go from Israel to the far north, you hit Russia, the Ukraine, and that area, that you have returned, I told her. God has brought you back to your ancient homeland in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, but you don't have to wait, I hasten to add. I told her, you don't have to wait. You can know that Messiah now by the proof of fulfilled messianic prophecy in the life of Yeshua.
Now,
and so that's kind of how the day went. It's been a phenomenal, almost 2 weeks here now with the 33rd outreach, and we have 8 more Bibles to pass out by Tuesday, making a total of 70 Bibles that will be passed out, brother, to receiving and open Israelis who are hearing
brother,
the gospel of Yeshua for the first time.
You have passed out 61 Bibles. Is that what I understand so far?
61, 62, thereabouts. I had to remove one because the binding fell off, so I'm not going to give that one out. But yeah, about that much. I haven't personally counted, but that's the estimate now because we started out with 70, and we have 8 left to give out until Tuesday when I sadly have to come back to the States.
Yeah, as you said, back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And,
but,
and
you know, brother, I'm excited.
Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited about how God is opening the hearts of the nation of Israel. And as you and I have said before, this present openness to hearing about Yeshua and receiving a Bible with the New Testament in it is further indication the Lord's coming is soon, because when he does come back to Israel, he will come and face rejection by him like he did in the first coming. But as you and I both know, Bible prophecy tells us at the second coming, he will be met with universal acclamation, repentance, and belief by the nation of Israel. And I think we're seeing the first inklings of that now, brother, through this ministry.
Yeah, you know, Brother Todd, you know, when you just mentioned that, I'm reminded of what Yeshua said when he looked over the city of Jerusalem. He wept over the city because, you know, he knew that Israel on that day would have rejected him. And because of that, the kingdom is now postponed, set aside, if you will. But I love what Yeshua said. He says, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, today, Israel, you reject me. But the next time you see me, physically with your eyeballs, the next time you see me, you're not going to reject me. The next time you see me, you will say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And I'm reminded of those second coming passages like Zechariah 12:10, what Paul said in Romans 11:26, and John in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. When they see him, they will embrace him as Mashiach ben David and Abraham. So, I mean, that's just exciting. And to be there, we were just there a couple of weeks ago, Todd. And we brought I believe it was 27 Hebrew New Testaments with us, and we passed them all out with, I think, with about maybe, I don't know, about 65 or 70 chit tracks was the Jewish people. But
amen. Love the Jewish people.
With you, brother, and really hitting the pavement over there.
Yeah, it's, I find giving a Bible with a messianic gospel tract explaining the gospel within a Jewish context and a biblical context and showing a Jewish person that the need for salvation, how it was accomplished through the atoning death of Messiah, and how that receiving Yeshua does not make a Jewish person no longer non-Jewish. On the contrary, he completes his calling as a Jew, because to be a Jew comes from the word Yehud or Yehuda, which means one who praises God. And when we praise God, we acknowledge His authority, His will, and His plan in our lives. And the ultimate plan is what Jesus said for Jew and Gentile in John 17:3, when He said that they may know yeah. You, the only true God, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom You have sent. That yeah. is God's will for every, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And I'll give you a good example. Excuse me. When I came here, I was praying, and I felt like the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, and you know, to when I was to walk into the hotel that I was to witness to the desk clerk. Most of the people at this hotel already know me, and I've been given the moniker the Bible Man because I give out Bibles and talk about Yeshua. So this guy yeah. was new, and the lady next to him, his coworker, said, "Oh, I remember you last time. You gave me the Bible." And I asked her, "Did you read it?" She goes, "No, I'm really not religious." Well, I quickly replied, "It's not religion. It's a revelation. And on that revelation, you can have a relationship with the living Lord of the universe, His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And the revelation is the very Bible that He inspired your ancient Hebrew prophets to write." I said, "It's a relationship. It's not religion. Religion is God, is man's flawed attempt at trying to reach God, whereas divine revelation, exclusively given through the Scriptures, is God condescending to come down to earth and bring us salvation. And He did that through the Jewish people." She was speechless. She didn't know what to say at that. She's never heard something
like praise
that
the Lord.
Before.
That's the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, planting the seed of the gospel in the hearts of those Jewish people working through you, Brother Todd. And that's the reason why they know you. They're familiar with you. You've been there 33 times already, and so they're very familiar with you. And they're comfortable when you talk to them. And you're planting that seed of the gospel, the Betzarah, to these precious Jewish people. And you know what's really unfortunate today, Todd, is that many in the church today. Now, I've been to missions conferences all over the United States.
Oh, yeah.
They say, we got to send people here. We got to send people there. Send them that way. Send them this way. Send them halfway across the world. But Todd, not once in any of these missions conferences has any missionary said, "Hey, you know something? We need to go to Israel. We need to reach out to the Jewish people. We don't talk. Today we will touch them."
Exactly.
With a tent.
And they ignore I do too, because it's a blatant transgression and either a willful or unwillful ignoring of what Romans 1:16 says and what Matthew 10 also says in Matthew 15. In both those chapters, Jesus instructed His disciples to go first to the house of Israel. And one cannot say, well, as some have said in the church, well, that Romans 1:16 passage was historically fulfilled by the apostles of the first century. No, it's not, because that whole verse is spoken in the present tense, along with the gospel being the power of salvation. So are you also going to say that the gospel is past tense now and no longer is the power of God leading unto salvation? And Paul speaks all of that verse 16 in Romans 1 in present tense. No, of course not. So then, logic would tell you that since the gospel is always, presently, the power of God unto salvation, then the caveat to that is that also in that verse, the gospel is always to go to the Jewish people. And first, not at the exclusion of Gentiles. And people don't realize that when you do take the gospel to the Jew first, you also fulfill Gentile evangelism as well. The two go hand in hand. And sadly, I've called the Jewish people and the modern-day state of Israel, when it comes to carrying out the Great Commission by the Church, it has become the Great Omission. Israel has become the Great Omission in the Great Commission. And this, quite frankly, is a great sin. And it speaks of, perhaps deliberate anti-Semitism, latent anti-Semitism. Whatever the case is, if you really love a Jewish person, you are going to share HaBetzarah Shel Yeshua HaMashiach with him. That's the gospel according to Jesus Christ in Hebrew. You're going to share that with him. And, let's face it, brother, in Israel is the only place in the Bible that you can open up any page from the scriptures and witness to them because it's talking about Israel and the Jewish people. Israel is mentioned over 2,000 times in the Bible. Jerusalem is mentioned 815 times. So the replacement theologians really have a hard time trying to explain that away. It tells us that God's heart is always been towards the Jewish people, and the city of his choosing where he will place his name there forever is also close to his heart. And that goes back to Jesus weeping over Jerusalem because of their lost condition.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say, when you say Israel, it's mentioned 2,566 times in the Bible. So God calls it Israel. He doesn't call it Palestine. So Christians and a lot of preachers need to get over that, because when you call the land Palestine, you're being politically correct and you're being biblically corrupt. We need to call
incorrect.
The land what God calls the land, the land of
Amen,
Israel.
Brother.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Let's move on to something here. Move on. Now, I know in Ezekiel 37, you know, it tells us about the dry bones vision. You know, the bones having the flesh put on them.
Right.
And these bones come out of those graves. Those bones, we know, are the Jewish people, and the graves are the Gentile nations, or the Goyim, where the Jews come out from.
Yes.
You know, there are many today that are trying to allegorize that and spiritualize that and say, that's talking about the birth of the church. And, you know, I say, no, it is not, because Ezekiel 37, verse 11, gives the interpretation of the dry bones vision when it says, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of
whole
Israel.
House of Israel.
The whole house of Israel.
Amen.
How can anybody talk, look at that passage and say, it's not talking about Israel?
Well, and another thing they like to do, August, and this is another subtle form of replacement theology, there is a false teaching going on in certain parts of the church where Jews only belong to the tribe of Judah, and Israel, Jews are not Israelites, and Israel is not a Jewish nation. Israel has been scattered among the Goyim, so now the 12 tribes are Gentile tribes, and the only two tribes of the southern kingdom are Jews. Well, that's false, too, because throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, Israel means the Jewish people, and the Jewish people means Israel. So it's absurd, and it's another attempt to try to, I think, out of anti-Semitic bias, to remove the Jewish people from the kingdom plan and program of the Lord, and it won't suffice. And you know, the undeniable proof that God has not forsaken Israel in the present age, in spite of their national unbelief towards it, Jesus being Messiah, is the fact that there is a Jewish remnant in the church, Jewish believers in Yeshua. That proves that God has not forsaken Israel altogether. Also, ministries like yours and Berit HaDashah Ministries, who reaches out in love for Yeshua to his people, the Jewish people, is further proof God has not forsaken Israel. So enough of this nonsense that God is done with Israel and the Jews have to be assimilated into the church and that the nation of Israel no longer exists. That's a flat-out lie. And again, it goes against what
Absolutely.
God's word says in Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37, God promising that as long as the universe exists, so shall Israel, the seed of Israel, exist as a nation before him. So Israel is here to permanently stay forever, and these folks who have problems with Israel better get over it.
They better get over it, Todd, because really, you know, you get so sick and tired of the nonsense that you see going on in the church. They're mangling and twisting the word of God, and they want to take Israel out of the equation and want nothing to do with Israel. We need to start taking the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning, because if the plain sense makes sense,
Amen.
Folks, don't look for any other sense or you will end up with nonsense. God still has a plan for Israel. He still has a plan for the Jewish people. And if you adhere to this nonsense, this anti-Semitic garbage, of replacement theology, my advice to you is to go to the book of Romans and rip out Romans chapters 9, 10, and especially Romans chapter 11 out of your Bibles, because Paul blows that theology out of the water. He rebukes it as false doctrine. That's exactly what it is today. Todd, in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, we looked at chapter 30, verses 1 through 3, but in Deuteronomy 28, it speaks of the Jews' worldwide dispersion. You know, with God's and our lady's glory to say blessings and curses. And we know that the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 only deals with blessings. Just 14 verses with blessings. But when you get to verses 15, going all the way to verse 68, it deals with 53 verses on curses. They disobeyed God. But God still keeps his promises. And even though they were scattered to the four corners of the earth, God brought the Jewish people back into the land because of the promises he made to King David, of the new covenant of Jeremiah 31. God still has promises to keep to the Jewish people. Why are people today saying God has broken his promises to the Jews?
Well, these covenants that you mentioned they all share in the same major characteristics. They are all immutable, they're eternal, and they're unconditional. I believe it's in Leviticus 26, 40 through 45, where God says that in spite of all their iniquity that Israel has committed, their unfaithfulness and walking contrary to the Lord, that in spite of all that, verse 42 of Leviticus 26, the Lord will still remember his covenant with Jacob, with Isaac, with Abraham, and that is the land-grant covenant that you read about, particularly in Genesis 17, where God gives the land to Abraham and his physical descendants, the Jews, forever and for an everlasting possession according to an everlasting covenant. So it is unconditional, and God says that in spite of their iniquities and their unfaithfulness, he will remember that covenant and bring the Jewish people back into their land. And then you go to Amos 9, 14, and 15, and it's talking about the regathering after the second diaspora that occurred in 70 AD by the Romans, that once God regathers Israel after the second dispersion, they will never be uprooted or removed again. And that's speaking about the end-time regathering we are witnessing and have been witnessing for the last 100 years, formally recognized when the nation of Israel was declared a nation again on May 14th, 1948, born in one day, fulfilling Isaiah 66.
Yes, sir.
There, 7 through 9.
Absolutely. I mean,
it's exciting, brother.
That's a prophecy.
Yeah, and when you show that to the Jewish people, when you show them that their history, even now, the present time, that was all foretold thousands of years ago, they are surprised, and then you can go from there to the messianic prophecies. And show them, look, if God has faithfully foretold your destiny and has brought it to pass, literally 100% of the time, what about another major subject of Bible prophecy that he's also foretold and brought to pass, the prophecy about the coming Messiah? And
absolutely,
that really gets them thinking and encourages them to receive the Bibles we have, and the messianic prophecy literature and gospel literature that we add with those Bibles. It whets their spiritual appetite, so to speak, so that they can study and research it more.
Now, you know, Paul,
we witness to them over here.
You know, you're listening to Dr. Todd Baker. He is a theologian. He is a missionary to the Jewish people, as I am. And, folks, we're talking about a subject that is dear to the heart of God. God is not finished with Israel. Now, people say, oh, the nation of Israel, when it was created May 14th, 1948, that was just a fluke. Now, There's one guy out there. Now, Claude, I'm going to mention names, okay? Because we need to mention names. There's one guy out in Arizona who calls himself a fundamental Baptist preacher who gives Bible-believing Christians a bad name. He's anti-government. He's anti-Israel. And he said the rebirth of Israel was not foretold in prophecy. Now, he's a post-tribber, and I'm talking about Stephen Anderson. This guy is dangerous. He teaches false doctrine. He likes getting into it with law enforcement so that he can give them a lesson on his civil rights. The guy is a bad taste in anybody's mouth. If Israel and the creation of the state of Israel was a fluke and not of God, you just mentioned it, Todd. What did you do with Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 and 8, where God said, shall a nation be born in one day? How many nations do you know around the world that was born in one day? I don't know of any, Todd, except for
none.
That was the state of Israel, May 14, 1948. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 says, God will gather the Jewish people back into the land the second time. You just quoted Amos 9:15. God says, I will bring the Jews from the four corners of the earth, will bring them back into their land, and they will no longer be uprooted from the land which I've given them, says the Lord of hosts. We can just go on and on, Todd. People like Stephen
Anderson.
Yeah,
Isaiah 11:11-12 also. Yeah, Isaiah 11. And 11, verses 11 and 12 also mention that they will be regathered a second time from all parts of the earth. So for this guy to sit here and irresponsibly dismiss it as a fluke is the height of exegetical, theological, and intellectual myopia. Obviously, he's got a problem with the Jewish people, and the sad thing is it exposes a further problem, a greater problem, and that is he's really got a problem with the God of Israel. He may claim to believe in the God of Israel, but not the God of the Bible, someone who he claims is the God of Israel, but it's not the God the true God of Israel, the one who prophesied throughout the scriptures that he would remember his covenant with Israel that he made with their founding fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and bring them back into their land in spite of their gross disobedience and unfaithfulness. So how he can read around that, he can't.
Yeah.
He can't and be considered a responsible, sound, and true exegete of God's word.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. This guy is not sound, and he's definitely not responsible. To me, he's just nothing more than a heretic. But we got about maybe 13 minutes left in the show, Todd. Let's go on. Now, church, listen to what Todd and I are saying here. It's our job to reach out to the Jewish people with the good news of the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, the gospel of Jesus the Messiah. And it's really unfortunate today that the church has divorced itself from its Jewish roots. And Todd, let's mention another name. And I think we have to go all the way back to the Reformation and thank Martin Luther for that. Now, there was some good stuff that came out of the Reformation, but there was also a lot of bad stuff that came out of the Reformation. Anti-Semitism, replacement theology, the Holocaust. I'm not saying that the Lutheran people were responsible for the Holocaust, but what I am saying, they were responsible for not stopping it. And a lot of this anti-Semitism and replacement theology comes from the Reformation. And it's unfortunate today that you have many in the church who are embracing what Martin Luther thought about the Jews. And that's pretty unfortunate, Tom.
That's true, brother, and I would even go further back. Martin Luther was simply importing what the Catholic Church had previously taught for centuries prior to the Reformation in the 16th century. And Augustine really, really started this train of replacement theology thought in his City of God. He flat out said that the church is the new Israel. And so that set the train in motion for centuries. And in fact, in Vatican II, the Vatican II documents, it stated in there that the New Testament church is the new Israel. So Martin Luther was simply perpetuating what he was taught by the Roman Catholic Church, in which he grew up in. And that, and he also passed along infant baptism too, which is not scriptural. So though he did make a I would say, 95% break from the Roman Catholic Church, there were still some things that he imported into the Reformation, and certainly a lot of his eschatology, with the exception of viewing the Catholic Church as the whole battle on Revelation 17, and his view that God is done with the Jews and that they must be assimilated in the church, that they can't, God cannot keep promises to them as a distinct ethnic nation, and that's simply not biblical. And sadly, he tried to reach the Jewish people with the gospel, but when most of them would not hear him or receive what he had to say, he became bitter and angry and turned against them, and wrote a horrible anti-Semitic tract called On the Jews and Their Lies, which I talked about in my book, Matthew 27:25, His Blood Be Upon Us, a verse that has been used since the second century of the church to try to say that God has forever cursed the Jews because they killed Christ, which I refute and show you that that verse in no way teaches that in the wider context of Matthew and in the much wider context of the Bible itself.
Yeah, folks, if you can get a copy of Dr. Todd Baker's book, you need to go to his website. As a matter of fact, all of you that are listening to the show today, I want to encourage you to get to know Todd Baker a little bit. Now, Todd, are you willing to take a question right now?
Sure, brother.
Okay, we're going to go to the 804 number. Now, let me just make something clear, because Todd, we've had issues in the past. All phone numbers that come in are recorded and stored. So if there's any nastiness or any type of foul language on this show by any of our callers, we will take immediate action against you. So we're just making that, we're just giving everyone a heads up on that. So the caller with the 804 number, if you're there, you're on the air. Hello?
I'm just listening.
Who is this?
Never mind.
Hello?
I'm just trying to enjoy the program.
Oh, okay. Well, sir, you called into the show. You're live on the air right now. Do you have a question for Todd Baker?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, where are you calling from, by the way?
Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia. Well, we're glad to have some listeners out there in Richmond, Virginia. And, sir, thank you so much for listening to the show. And so when you called in that number right there, that puts you live on the air. So right now you're live on the air. So we just want to just thank you so much for listening to the show. And don't forget, if you do have a prophecy question, you're always more than welcome to call us with that question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Well, Todd, we thought we had a question right there, but
thank you, sir.
We got a listening audience out there. But, Todd, we only have a few minutes left. Let our audience know how they can get in touch with your ministry to get to know you better.
Yes, you can get a hold of us at our website, which is searchthescripturesonline.org. Of course, you preface that with the three W's and www.searchthescripturesonline.org. And they can, we're working on the new website right now, but the old one is still up, so they can access us there. And we also have a free bi-monthly newsletter with good, solid Bible teaching in it, and also ongoing reports on the our gospel outreaches to Israel. We chronicle each trip, and those that go in, they also write articles about their experiences and sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. And I would also hasten to add, please be praying for this 33rd outreach, which will conclude Tuesday. And then, of course, our upcoming outreach that you and I will be going on, I believe, June 14th through July 1st. Please pray for August and I, and certainly we would humbly ask for your support and your prayers in that. And I'm looking forward to it, and I think, you know, each outreach I'm just completely blown away, and this one's been no different, and I'm confident that the 34th outreach that you and I will go on will be no exception to that rule.
Yes, and I am really, Brother Todd, looking forward to going to Israel with you in June to reach out to the precious Jewish people. And, you know, I'm really humbled that yourself and, you know, Mark Levitt, that you guys would put that type of confidence in me to go there with you and sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. So we're just really, really looking forward to that. And, folks, if you can help out with that outreach by doing so, you
yes.
will have a talk with Dr. Tom Baker and myself in reaching out to the precious Jewish people. Again, visit Todd's website. There is a donut button on there that you can use to help in this ministry outreach to the Jewish people. And Todd is right
yes.
now live in Israel. He's in Tel Aviv. He's got a few more days to go. Share the gospel before he comes back here to the States. And so, Todd, it was a blessing to have you on the show today, and we need to have you back on as soon as possible.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much. God's doing a great work over here, and we look to build on that when you come with me in June and hopefully in future outreaches, too. And I'm thinking maybe we could do a show over here while we're over here in June, brother.
You know, brother, that would be awesome to do a show right there in the land of Israel and right there in the temporary studios there in the Holy Land. So that would really be a blessing. So we'll definitely be working on that. Todd, give your website one more time so people can visit you.
Yeah, our website is searchthescripturesonline.org. And
okay,
our address, folks, if you want to write us, is BHM, just put BHM, that's Berit HaLashon Ministries, P.O. Box 796127, Dallas, Texas 75379. And any donations, of course, are tax deductible, so the less you have to give to the government and the more you can give to the kingdom of God, that is a wise choice. And God, we're not into the prosperity, get rich quick scheme, but the Bible does promise in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, that when you bless Israel, God will bless you. So
Amen.
That is a promise that God gives. And the greatest blessing you can give is help us to give them the supreme blessing of the gospel, whereby one is saved and has eternal life.
Well, Todd, again,
which came from the Jews first, and let's go back to them.
Amen. Amen. We really appreciate you, Brother Todd, and everything that you're doing out there. Looking forward to having you back on the show when you get back here to the States. And just letting nobody, we're praying for you. We love you. And you and I will be in contact a whole lot leading up to both you and I leaving for Israel in June. Now, right now, folks, the show is coming
Amen.
To an end. We cannot take any more phone
calls. Amen, brother.
We cannot take any more phone calls right now, folks, so you're going to have to call in next week. And so, Todd, we'll be in touch with you soon, buddy. God bless you.
Okay, brother. We'll pray for our trip together soon. Okay. Shalom
we'll
from
later,
Israel.
Buddy.
Bye-bye.
Shalom, shalom, Shabbat shalom, my friend. Folks, thanks again for tuning in to the show. That was Dr. Todd Baker. Again, you can visit his website, searchthescripturesonline.org. And I hope you tune in next week as I interview David James for the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. We're going to be talking a lot about some of the unorthodox statements being made by a lot of those within the charismatic movement today. So, until next week, this is August Rosado of the Day in Bible Prophecy Ministry, saying keep looking up Jesus is coming soon. Shalom.